Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. We got a jam-packed episode for you. Guess what? The CDC's updated its mask guidelines and liberal minds are exploding. We've got all the sound you're not going to want to miss. Also, what are the Republicans' reaction to this? Are they suspicious? You bet they are. And they have a right to be. We'll tell you exactly why. And then finally, guess what? Republicans are worse than the hijackers on 9/11. And as a matter of fact, they're like Al-Qaeda. We have all this insanity for you and more. Jam-packed episode. Really had a good time researching it. Had a great time recording it. You're not going to want to miss it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, everybody. I'm about to tackle everything I just introed, but before I get into that, I want to talk about the thinker. That's right. THINKR. We get a lot of emails from you guys going, I can't find it. Well, it's because it's without the E. There's no E. THINKR.org/Charlie. And that will make sure that we get the credit for it, which we really appreciate because we love Thinker. Okay. So Thinker, the whole point of Thinker is that you get a lot of content, but in bite-sized pieces, you can get through it in like about 10 minutes and you get some of the most important books out there right now. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal service. So we love Thinker, and the guys that run it are connected to the Babylon Bee. They're phenomenal people. They love America. It's great. Here's the deal. This is the book of the week because so much of what's happening in our culture has to do with our addictions to our cell phones. That's right, to our cell phones. Why is there a connection with all the news today in that? Because they're feeding us propaganda through social media, through the mainstream news media, through Apple News, which doesn't get enough attention from us. And this book of the week deals with that. And by the way, Charlie, we just released a vintage Charlie. It's actually a new speech he just gave, but it's vintage Charlie. This is Charlie at his best. And we titled it How Smartphones Are Strangling the Soul of America. So this is something that's very much a focus of Charlie. It's very much a focus of the show. And this book is called Irresistible, The Rise of Addictive Technology in the Business of Keeping Us Hooked by Adam Attler. Okay. So what you're going to see in this, heads of successful technology companies strictly regulate their children's access to the very technologies they promote to the masses. Okay. You're going to learn why. This is, again, the book is Irresistible, thinker.org/Charlie. Number two, the average person's daily smartphone habits will add up to over a decade of one's life spent texting and scrolling. It's 10 years you're never going to get back. Three, we need to expand our definitions of addiction from mere substance dependency to behavioral patterns more generally. This is absolutely 100% correct. Four, environment is primarily determinative of addiction. Remember, environment. So parents out there, you create the environment that either leads to addiction to cell phones or helps break them of the addiction or doesn't lead to it in the first place. Five, less screen time and more face-to-face interactions improve social intelligence. Of course, we know this. If you want people to have good interpersonal skills, take the phone away. Six, creating structures and habits that enhance freedom are the best remedies for technology addiction. Absolutely. You got to fill that void with other things that matter. Seven, the difference between I can't and I don't is monumental. Okay. You have the power. You are empowered. Guys, go to thinker.org/Charlie. That's THINKR, no E. .org/Charlie. Support us, support the show, support Thinker, and deal with your addiction to the screen and smartphones. Okay, guys, without further ado, we've got a great episode in store for you today. Check it out. The big news of the day is, of course, that the CDC has changed its guidelines on masking. Now, you'd think this would be a happy day. You'd think this would be a joyful celebration. And there are those voices, even on the left, that are having a good time with it. I read Politico this morning, so you didn't have to, that is basically, saying, hallelujah, the worst is behind us. And that very, very well may be true. But that has not stopped the liberal blowhards across the country from essentially just losing their ever-loving minds. Just to sort of sum it up for you, the CDC said Thursday that fully vaccinated people do not need to wear masks or practice social distancing indoors or outdoors, except under certain circumstances, such as in healthcare settings, on public transportation. So if you think you're going to take that mask off on a plane anytime soon, you've got another thing coming. Or in areas where the government requires masks. The other issue that's fairly prominent here is that stores are still trying to figure out what they're going to do. So CVS, Walgreens, Macy's, wherever you go into a retail setting is still going to potentially force you to wear masks. As a matter of fact, I'm predicting that they will, based on some of the intel that we're already getting. So, by the way, you also still have states like New York still has their mask mandate in place and they are reviewing the data. But nevertheless, it's a big news story. So let's play a little sound just to kind of get you guys up to speed here. Let's play clip 82. This is Rachel Maddow asking CDC Director Dr. Walensky, how sure are you? Play clip.
How sure are you? Because this feels like a really big change.
We're sure. There's an extraordinary amount of evidence now that demonstrates the vaccines are working in the real world, that these vaccines are working the way they worked in the clinical trials. Importantly, there's also new data, just even in the last 2 weeks, that demonstrates these vaccines are working in against the variants that we have circulating here in the United States.
All right. So, Maddow, skeptical. Are you sure? Are you sure? Sure. You 100% pinky promise, sure. Well, this basically broke Rachel Maddow in one of the more humorous segments that you'll ever see on the news. And I'm sure you guys weren't watching it. So we got the clip here just in case you're curious. Play clip 80 of Rachel Maddow saying, I'm going to have to rewire my mind here just for this, just to get used to the new normal here. Play clip 80.
Part of it is that I feel like I'm going to have to rewire myself so that when I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I don't instantly think you are a threat or you are selfish or you are a COVID denier and you definitely haven't been vaccinated. I mean, we're going to have to rewire the way that we look at each other with this changing guidance. We're going to now have changing norms and we got to give each other space to have feelings about that as we go through what's going to be a big change that's going to create a lot of visceral a lot of visceral reaction in a lot of us just in our day-to-day lives. It's a big day, big change.
Okay, Rachel Maddow. You know, on the one hand, listen, I think these people are all silly. And they have conducted a psyops operation against the American people, the likes of which we've never probably seen before. And they have convinced millions of people to be utterly panicked. And so I have no compassion for that. But just imagine for a second that you believe all of this stuff, that you have been fed this load of COVID porn, panic porn for months, and that you have fully internalized it and you are scared of your fellow country, your fellow citizens when you go outside. Just imagine that you have fully bought that hook, line, and sinker for months now. And then you got the CDC saying, well, actually, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to do that. Well, this creates way more problems for them than it does solutions. And you see that moment of just brutal honesty about what's really going through their minds. And we've all known this, but she says, I'm not going to judge somebody when they don't have a mask on, like that they're selfish or that they're a COVID denier or that they're a Republican. That's really what they're saying here, by the way. And I actually feel, you know, there's a tinge of compassion. I promise, just a tinge for these people that are having to deal with this. This is one of my favorite clips of the moment, by the way. I want to play clip 91. This is CNN. Absolutely. So the news breaks. CNN instantly goes to the airwaves, to discuss this, what this new change means. And they just, you could tell their minds just can't comprehend what life might look like without masks on. Clip 91.
Frankly, I was shocked by this announcement. I think they went from one extreme to another. And the major step that's missing here is, how do we know that people are telling the truth?
This is not a free-for-all that everybody, you know, and but I agree with Dr. Wen. It is going to be very tenuous.
I am kind of befuddled as to where this guidance came from. I think there are a lot of steps that we're missing.
And the people who never wanted a vaccine, how do I get them to wear a mask?
That is a great question.
And thus, we have our problems. That clip probably illustrates it the best of any of these clips. So that Dr. Wen, by the way, we call her Carrot Lady. She was on with Chris Cuomo a few months back, probably about 6 weeks ago, where she was expressing the fact that she felt like the window was closing for the U.S. government, Joe Biden, to essentially put that carrot out there to get vaccinated. And if we don't tie reopening and getting your normal life back to getting vaccinated, we're going to miss the window. And she basically revealed their whole game. Let's play clip 93 just so you guys know what I'm talking about here.
But I think that there are many more people, millions of people, who, for whatever reason, have concerns about the vaccine, who just don't know what's in it for them. And we need to make it clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because otherwise, if everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine?
Carrot lady, what's the carrot going to be? Well, you see now why the liberal minds are exploding, because they've lost the leverage point. They lost the leverage point in some ways. However, we might have a very troubling development on the back of this, and that's vaccine passports. Now, they're calling them vaccine certificates or a certification system. They might, the Biden administration was revealed weeks ago that they were working with companies to find a solution for this vaccination problem. Meanwhile, only a third of Americans are fully vaccinated. And that means you've gotten first vaccine, second vaccine, and then you've had 2 weeks since. And so the conundrum for the left is real. While they want to support this and say, yay, Joe Biden, they're actually unable to fully celebrate. Let's play clip 83. This is the wonderful, the illustrious, the so brilliant and smart Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski talking about how they're going to respond to the new CDC guidelines.
But so let's be specific right about this. If you're on airplanes, if you're on buses, if you're on public transportation, wear the mask. You still are expected to wear the mask. And actually, for your own health, you should still wear the mask. I got to say, in the future, I mean, I haven't gotten the flu in a year. Why am I going to start wearing a mask on, stop wearing a mask on planes? That's just right. Makes good common sense.
That's right. That's right, Mika there. Good doting wife. Yeah, that's right, Joe. That's right. Okay, listen. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are fools, of course, but they are very representative of a whole move of people, right? So we did a little research here. We went to the official White House, or I guess, I don't know if it's the official POTUS Instagram page here, when they posted the mandates that have changed, the CDC guidances had changed. And the comments were so ridiculous that we had to take screen grabs. And actually, producer Connor was sending these to me going like, you know, look at what these people are posting. These people are crazy. This is what you do to a culture when you break them of their spirit, when you break them of their courage. Now, a lot of these people probably didn't have courage before, but nevertheless, it's a degradation the likes of which we've probably never seen before. Now, just imagine the brave men that were storming Normandy. And consider this. I'm going to wear a mask anyways, so I don't look like an a-hole. Another one. I'm fully vaccinated, but I'm keeping the mask on with a little emoji with going like, you know, with a shrug. Thanks, but I'm going to wear a mask still just in case. I'm confused. Thought the vaccine prevented you from getting sick. It didn't prevent you from getting it at all. Make it make sense, somebody, please. Way too soon. I'll keep mine on and get ready for another spike this summer. So this is what happens when you send your kids to public school, apparently. Homeschool, private school, Christian school, really recommend it. But nevertheless, we're this country is filled with people that think like this. And why? Because they live in little media bubbles where they listen to people like Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. And those clips get pushed out through the social media and they tell young people like these people that you are selfish, just like Rachel Maddow said, that you're a COVID denier if you don't wear a mask. And then Morning Consult did an actual poll, and this was really revealing, talking about the, let's see if I can get this poll here. Morning Consult did a poll where they compared vaccinated Americans versus unvaccinated Americans and asked them to express their comfort level toward a variety of public activities. Okay, so this is, again, people who have received the vaccination, those who haven't, and their level of comfort. Going on a cruise, only 17% of vaccinated people were comfortable. Almost 40% of unvaccinated people were comfortable going on a cruise. Attending a concert, only 23% of vaccinated people were comfortable with that. 42% of unvaccinated were. Now, the numbers start getting a little bit jumbly, so just, you know, bear with me here. I'm not kidding you. Renting a car, less than half of vaccinated people polled in this survey are comfortable renting a car. 47% are comfortable renting a car. When you drive down the streets and you see that person wearing a mask inside their own car, guaranteed leftist. Now 60% of people who aren't vaccinated are comfortable. Still too low, but I mean, you know, come on, guys. This is the propaganda. This is what happens when the propagandists get control. This is what happens when you have Fox and Newsmax versus CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, ABC, all of it, and not to mention the slew of online news outlets. Vox has been completely wrong. Vox, there's a great piece on Breitbart that I recommend you guys check out that details how wrong Vox has been.
It doesn't matter what your politics are or who you voted for. Everyone should have the right to express themselves freely. Sadly, the big tech monopoly has instead opted for censorship. To fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. Free-to-access tech giants make all of their money by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, then selling off your sensitive data. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network's data to protect you from cybercriminals, and it just takes one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN, that's right, ExpressVPN, is rated number one by CNET and Wired. Revoke big tech's right to your data. Visit expressvpn.com/Kirk. ExpressVPN.com/Kirk to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/Kirk for 3 extra months free. ExpressVPN.com/Kirk.
Guys, this is probably one of the more enjoyable days that I've had just from a news cycle in 2021. Because the coronavirus cult, the anti-science coronavirus cult that has kept your children's schools closed, even when all the science says that children are not a vector of spreading this disease, at least not a large one, and that it's safe to go back to school. And by the way, just for the record, I live in California. My 3-year-old goes to preschool and at a little Christian school, and they haven't had masks the whole time. We started sending her back in, I think, August or September of last year. No masks, no problems. Everybody's great. It's been fun. So God bless our little Christian preschool. They've kept your schools closed. They've kept your businesses closed. It's resulted in 100,000 small businesses shuttering their doors and never coming back open. you know, that are never gonna recover, despite all of the efforts of the federal government, despite all the trillions of dollars we've thrown around. There was an interesting exchange that I'm just catching on Twitter here, involving the one and only, in a very negative sense, Representative Eric Swalwell. So there was a verbal altercation. This is why we call it the COVID cult, the lockdown cult. Another verbal altercation just happened in the House. This was a reporter's Twitter feed. Marjorie Taylor Greene spokesman Nick Dyer told Representative Swalwell, "Biden says you can take off your mask." Swalwell confronted Dyer, got in his face, and according to Dyer said, "You don't tell me what to effing do." That is your California congressman from the Bay Area, real good friends with Nancy Pelosi, and a one Feng Feng from China. Solid guy. Very solid guy, that Swalwell. And has he been removed from any committees since it's been revealed that he was cavorting with a Chinese spy? Not sure. I don't think so. Yeah. Anyways, let's play some sound of Biden, the paternalistic Biden, getting in our face about this. Let's see. Okay, clip 90. This is Biden telling us the new rule of thumb. All you crazy anti-vaxxers out there, all those skeptics. Biden's got a very simple instruction for you. Play clip 90.
After a year of hard work and so much sacrifice, the rule is very simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do.
You hear that? Listen, folks, it's very simple. You do what you're told. This is America. Do what you're told. You get that vaccination or you wear a mask. I don't want to hear any ifs, ands, or buts about it. Get to your room. You're going to get a spanking. I'm President Joe Biden. Okay? This is the left. This is what the left thinks. So the left puts all of their hope, faith, and, you know, promise of the future in the federal government. The right thinks of the federal government as getting in the way of their hopes, dreams, and aspirations. But the left, when you don't follow God, something is always going to take its place. And for the left, the federal government is God, and the federal government is this benevolent, nearly octogenarian leader, Joe Biden. You get in your room, little boy. So there's a great piece here from the Federalist. A little shout out to the Federalist. 5 big things wrong with Biden's mask or vaccine ultimatum. So, you know, obviously the first one is that Biden got vaccinated when President Trump was still in office and then denied it, that Trump had a vaccine and that he inherited this awful mess. And actually, on that note, I mean, President Trump has issued a couple statements recently that are just amazing. They make me miss the man more than I already did. But I just love how defiant he is. Today he actually, I'm probably going to pull this up because it's just so good. But just today, the president issued this great comment. Says it's incredible that because of the vaccines, which I and my administration came up with years ahead of schedule, parenthesis, despite the fact that everybody, including Fauci, said it would never happen, end of parenthesis, that we no longer need masks, and yet our names are not even mentioned in what everybody is calling a modern-day miracle of the vaccines. Without the vaccines, this world would have been in for another 1917 Spanish flu, where up to 100 million people died. Because of the vaccines we pushed and developed in record time, nothing like that will even come close to happening. Just a mention, please. The Biden administration had zero to do with it. And all they did was continue our plan of distribution, which was working well right from the beginning. Listen. When it comes to vaccines, we've always said it on this show. Charlie and I are very much of one mind when it comes to this. We're agnostic. If you want to get a vaccine, get the vaccine. If you don't want to get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. But what this is all creating is a very clear scenario where some folks are going to have the vaccine and their whole lives are going to open before them in theory. But what are the folks that – there's a couple different groups I want to highlight here. If you're under 12, the CDC director, and actually I think we have this clip. Yeah, let's actually play clip 81. What happens when you're under 12? Maddow asked this of Director Walensky here. Clip 81.
But if you've got kids under age 12, how do you approach this new guidance within your family? Do kids need to keep wearing masks if they can't be vaccinated, even if their older siblings and their parents have been vaccinated and they don't have to wear masks?
We have to treat them as unvaccinated. So, yes, those children still do have to wear a mask to protect themselves.
Same mitigation strategies apply for 12 and under. I mean, that's a pretty harsh thing, right? Let me just tell you, folks, I've been doing this since roughly the beginning of this whole thing. My kids don't wear masks. I think it's silly to put them on them. I think it's dehumanizing. And guess what? If the vaccines work, and this gets to the root of the whole problem. If vaccines really do work, then if you are somebody who's not vaccinated, but you interact with somebody who is, then they're already covered. Okay. They're already protected by their vaccine. Isn't that the way vaccines work? We never had these silly rules in flu season when people would get vaccinated and others wouldn't. And the flu kills tons of people, thousands, tens of thousands every year, sometimes over 100,000 people, hospitalizes tens of thousands of people, at least every year before this last winter when there was the flu, you know, miraculously disappeared, which we'll just leave at that because, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what happened to the flu. I think it's going to take the flu years and years to recover. Nevertheless, so 12 and under, and as you might remember, and I don't know that we actually covered it on this show, so I'll just say it for the sake of saying it. The Pfizer vaccine, I believe, has been approved for 12 and older. So ages 12 and up are now approved to get the vaccine. So that's one group. The other group is, what if you've already gotten the virus? I have actually gotten the virus, tested positive, had some symptoms, relatively minor, wasn't a big deal. I actually kept working through the entire experience, and then it was gone. Felt great. Never really had, and it never, obviously everybody's different. I'm not denying the fact that some people got the virus and it was very serious for them. All I'm saying, what about me? I'm hearing reports that some folks, if you had the virus and then you got vaccinated after having the virus, that your experience of getting vaccinated is actually a lot worse. I'm not sure how much data there is to support this, but there is a lot of rumors that are going around about it. So what about those folks? You might recall all last year, and even President Trump said this constantly. He was talking about the fact that, you know, he was immune because he got he came down with the coronavirus. So he was like, I'm immune. And at that point, they said that you were immune for like 12 months. And then all of a sudden, President Trump got the virus. And then they quickly shortened it to like 4 months. You're immune for 4 months. Well, it's still not clear. And nobody's talking about it. As a matter of fact, I tried to research it for this show today. Couldn't find anything definitive. It's like they've completely rushed past the fact that if you have the virus, you may or may not be immune. So why would you get a vaccination for something if you're already immune? That's a really big question. Now, the third thing that I want to talk about with this is it creates this whole notion that there will be this push by businesses, and especially in blue states, to figure out who is vaccinated and who is not. So you either have your badge that you wear on your chest, a la certain fascist governments of the 1930s, and you get to come in or go out, or you don't. Now, I've seen a lot of chatter on this online about people that are creating kind of black market vaccination passports. And, you know, you can do your own Google due diligence, or better yet, DuckDuckGo. Don't use Google. Just keep your privacy intact. But there is going to be an absolute rush in black market passports. Vaccine passports. Now they want to call them certificates and all of this. They're passports. And they should be illegal. Every red state should make them illegal. This is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And what they have diminished us into, and it's so hard to watch it happen, is the land of the absolute panicked and fearful and timid and the lockdowns. It's not the land of the free. It's the land of the lockdowns. Unless they tell you that. So paternalistic Joe Biden is going to tell you that you have your choice. And guess what? There's no rule. You don't have to get the vaccination or wear a mask. You can make up your own decisions. There is a choice, and that choice is you are going to live in courage, and you're going to say, Joe Biden, you don't get to tell me what to do. You don't tell me to wait until July 4th. Because if you go across red state America and even in certain places in blue states, we've been free since the moment we decided to be free, and no government official can tell us not to be.
In 1857, the SS Central, also known as the Gold Ship, sank with 9.1 tons of gold on board. Valued at $2.1 million, that is the modern-day equivalent to hundreds of millions of dollars, the greatest American treasure ever discovered at sea. Today, Noble Gold, a California-based company with a pristine reputation, has a share of these coins available to their clients. Over 7,000 gold coins, mostly $1, $5, and $20, gold coins from 1840 to 1857 were recovered from the SS Central America shipwreck. Most of these coins were from the Ship of Gold, were quickly acquired by private collectors when the coins were first brought to the market in 2000. Now, Noble Gold's clients can get this unforgettable part of American history at a fair, affordable valuation. Contact Noble Gold and ask about the Kirk shipwreck deal. To receive this unique offer, visit noblegoldinvestments.com and then call a Noble Gold representative to ask about the shipwreck coins. It's time to tell better stories at your parties by showcasing a one-of-kind coins from collection destined to rise in value, noblegoldinvestments.com.
This is from CNN. I think it's actually really hilarious. Congressional Democrats have 100% vaccination rate. Oh, they get gold stars. Good for them. They don't even realize that they're all still living in preschool and they're just looking for the approval of their peers and of Big Brother. So listen to this. Democratic lawmakers in both chambers of Congress have 100% vaccination rate against COVID-19. A CNN survey of Capitol Hill found this week, significantly outpacing Republicans in the House and Senate, illustrating the partisan divide over the pandemic. For Republicans, at least 44.8% of House members are vaccinated and at least 92% of senators are, CNN found. So the House, I mean, it kind of makes me, you know, bless the founders secretly. It's supposed to be the people's house. It's supposed to be a representation of the people. Now, again, just to reiterate, if you want to get vaccinated, God bless you. If you don't want to get vaccinated, God bless you. The key here is that you should not allow some government bureaucrat or Rachel Maddow to look at you and tell you that you are evil, selfish, anti-vaxxer, anti-science, that you are a terrible person because you don't want to get vaxxed. Or because you don't want to wear a face diaper, an obedience diaper on your face. Even if CNN doesn't give you 5 stars. And guess what? The people's house is representative of the people. Now, we know that at least 50% of Americans are skeptical or hesitant about getting the vaccine. And that's okay. That's okay. If you are worried about your life, get vaccinated. If you think that that's going to help you, get vaccinated. By all means. I personally am not taking it. I've personally already had COVID. Recovered very quickly. It was not that bad. But the point here is that you should be free. You should be free. That word, freedom. I think we throw it around a lot in conservative circles and we forget what it actually means sometimes. Free. You should be free. This is not a word that we should take lightly. This is our American God-given inheritance to be free. And they're trying to take that from us in a very sneaky sort of Big Brother. They're trying to use the levers of government, yes, but they're actually trying to use psychological effects on us and the bullying tactics, their mass media arms, their influence, their celebrities, all of this. Well, here's one exception to that. Bill Maher got vaccinated. And news came out today that Bill Maher tested positive for coronavirus. In a tweet from the official Real Time with Bill Maher, and we've been playing Bill Maher's clips here a lot lately because he's just been fantastic. I mean, I disagree with Bill Maher on a ton of stuff, but the guy is at least intellectually honest. And when he believes something, he'll say it. Where so many on the left are too afraid and they kowtow. So here, Bill tested positive during a weekly staff PCR testing for COVID, read the announcement. He is fully vaccinated and as a result is asymptomatic and feels fine. You know, that's apparently a thing. So they're going to skip taping this week, and it's the first time he's missed taping of Real Time, apparently in a long time. So he's making jokes about being Cal Ripken Jr., right? So he's been vocal, though, about his thoughts on the coronavirus pandemic, and we've played some of those clips on this show because they're fantastic. But he basically says that the left has become ascientific. They're not following the science. Because they've been fed a crock from the liberal establishment media for months now. And the polls show it. And he calls them out on that. Basically, if you're a leftist, you think you're like, if you get coronavirus, you're like 50% likely going to die. Bill Maher called it out. He calls it panic porn. So the point is, this comes at weird timing for the left. And CDC lifts the mask mandate for vaccinated, and yet the vaccinated guy gets COVID, one of their own. It's very confusing times. What do you make of it? I don't know. Liberal minds will just continue exploding, and for that, we will all have a chuckle. But what we haven't talked about here just yet is what are conservatives reacting to the new guidance? What's that? What's the reaction been? Well, I could sum it up in one tweet. By Senator Marshall Blackburn. Why today? The science hasn't changed. And that is completely reasonable. That is a completely reasonable reaction to what's just happened. Now, conservatives are basically saying that the timing is really, really suspicious. You've got exploding violence in the Middle East, largely fueled by Joe Biden's own weakness in the region, all the signals that he's sending. So here's what is so frustrating, and I think many of you can share this with me, share this frustration with me, is that when Joe Biden says, "Well, I didn't cause the border surge," well, yeah, you kind of did. You sent every signal to illegal immigrants south of the border, say, "Hey, come on up. I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to hurt you. We're not going to do anything to you. We're not going to put you out." And so what do? They surge. Well, he's done similar messaging to folks in the Middle East. He says, well, you know, I'm going to reopen talks with Iran. I'm going to send $235 million to the Palestinians. And I'm, you know, by the way, I'm thinking about unfreezing a couple billion dollars of Iranian money. So what happens with all that money? Well, it goes into funding rockets that they lob at Israel. So, point is, this is all Joe Biden's creation. It's taken 100 days to essentially bring about an unprecedented level of, at least within the 21st century, of inflation. He's got chaos in the Middle East. He's got an oil pipeline crisis that he's completely bungled. And I want to go into that in just a second. And so point is, there's a lot going on. There's a lot that we can talk about and that we have some really legitimate things to say about Biden's mishandling of this economy and of this country. Okay. So I actually really like what, Andy Biggs said. Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona, friend of the show, has been on, says, while the new mask guidance is encouraging, CDC and my far radical left colleagues only chose to do this to distract from the consequences of catastrophic policy decisions that have been heard around the world. Inflation is rising. The Middle East is in shambles. The working class can't fill up their gas tanks. Our border is being overrun. The Biden administration's leadership is nowhere to be found. Hear, hear, Representative Andy Biggs. I completely agree. This timing is very interesting. There was a clip earlier in the week. I'm not sure if we've got it handy or not, but there was a clip earlier in the week, of the CDC director. Let's see if we can find it. Even if we can't, Walensky basically was telling CNN, I believe, saying, we're so excited. It was Cuomo. We can't wait to update the guidance. We're so close. And even Chris Cuomo was saying, well, you know, what's the evidence that we can't do this? Well, it turns out the next day they updated the guidance. They were out in force. They were going through their media channels. Looks like we have that clip. Go ahead and play that clip of Walensky on Chris Cuomo.
What data do you have that suggests you need to go slow before you let people completely unmask and live their lives if they've gotten the vaccine?
Well, you know, we know that data are emerging, have been emerging with regard to the variants, specifically the UK variant, the Brazil variant. With those variants here, we do want to make sure that those data are going to be out and demonstrate that our vaccines will work. And I'm looking forward to updating our guidance very soon.
Right. And then she goes on Maddow last night and says, I'm very sure that this is the right guidance. Okay. So the way this works, folks, if you're not in media, you never worked orders. So what happened was the CDC's comms director got on the phone and called CNN and said, hey, listen, there's some big news coming up and we want your help in breaking it. And this is going to be huge. Okay. What is it? Well, okay. This is off the record. Okay. Yeah. Of course. We're going to be updating the CDC guidance, but we're not quite ready to do it. We want to start seeding that messaging out there to sort of start putting it in. Something's going to change so it doesn't come out of nowhere. So they call it. So they call up Chris Cuomo's producer. They say, okay, let's do it. Let's get Walensky on. Let's get her. Let's start talking about it. Okay, what kind of questions should I ask? Okay, well, here's the approved questions. Okay, so then they get the approved questions. CDC says, okay, that'll work. So then Dr. Walensky goes up there and I can't tell you just yet, but we're very close to update. And Chris Cuomo obliges and says, well, why can't we take our masks off if we've been vaccinated? He's like the one stooge at CNN who's asking this question, but that gave her the opening to sort of start layering it in there. Now, why would they want to layer it in there? Well, because as it turns out, allegedly, okay. There is reason to believe that they needed a distraction this week. The Biden administration is under incredible pressure for mishandling everything from the border to inflation. Inflation's not coming. Inflation is very much here. To the pipeline. It's Jimmy Carter 2.0 on steroids. This is what we've been saying. Jimmy Carter 2.0 on steroids, and the administration knows it. So what do they need? Let's flip the switch. We've held this ace in the hole for the whole time, so we're ready to play the card. Let's play the card. No more masks for the vaccinated. Boom. Big win. Everybody's supposed to celebrate, but they didn't see one thing coming, that they have created a culture of utter wusses, cowards. And there's actually a name for this. It's called cave syndrome. So you've got this big announcement that's supposed to be met with tremendous applause and adoration. And thank you, Father Biden, for letting us take our masks off. But even the left is saying, this is too soon. This is very drastic. I don't feel comfortable. I still want to wear my mask. And you got the right saying, well, this is just a distraction from a very, very bad week for the Biden administration. Well, there is a psychiatrist in Miami who's called it the cave syndrome, and it describes people when they're reluctant to return to normal life after COVID. So there's a story of a 37-year-old mother in this story regarding this cave syndrome. She became debilitated while being trapped at home during quarantine. What it was doing to me psychologically was very detrimental to my health. My depression and anxiety skyrocketed, Russell says. And Dr. Bregman, the guy who coined this term, cave syndrome, says Russell isn't the only one with these troubles. The reluctance to leave home has become exacerbated during the pandemic, affecting many of his patients, especially those with pre-existing conditions like anxiety. Quote, so people, and it's subtle, it's really agoraphobia. Even people who didn't have agoraphobia, which is the fear of open spaces, have it now. Do you see what they've done to us? So you got something that should be celebrated, that we are, you know, masks, the whole mask tyranny is sort of coming to an end, but they've so politicized it, including the CDC, that we can't trust it on the left and the right. Meanwhile, you've got unprecedented amounts of agoraphobia happening amongst people that have been sheltering in place for the last 12 months, living in their little dingy apartments all over the country, waiting to be told it's okay to go out. And when they're told it's okay to go out, they can't, because we broke them.
Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk.
One more story that I just saw that I had to comment on. This is the lovely Nancy Pelosi from the Bay Area, the leftist region, the most left region in the country, according to voting data. So she was asked by CNN's Manu Raju whether or not she was going to change the voting, the requirements of members to wear masks on the House floor. Now, we spoke about it earlier. 100% of Democrats are vaccinated, but only 44.8% of Republicans are. And so she said, well, no, she's not going to change the rules. So you still have to wear a mask on the House floor if you've been vaccinated and you're in Congress. So yet again, they are completely full of crap, and we should all call them on it. Okay, that is that. So the House members, unfortunately, are going to still have to wear masks. even though Joe Biden said, hey, get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. Well, Nancy Pelosi has just broke with Joe Biden. But there was a really fascinating story, actually, over here that I want to start talking about Israel. You know, there's reports that 1,800 rockets have been flung at the Israelis from Gaza, which is a lot of rockets. They're Iron Dome, by the way. This thing has been, we've actually posted some. You can go to our Rumble account, Charlie Kirk's Rumble account. We've posted videos of the Iron Dome there that are just remarkable. Somebody went right up close to where these, these anti-ballistic missiles were fired up that intercept these rockets being flung at them from Gaza. And it's like a sea of rockets that are just flying up into the air, 90% accurate, meaning that 90% of the rockets, so if they're 1,800 have been now shot at Israel, at Ascalon, Tel Aviv, 90% of them are getting taken out of the air. Meanwhile, the Israel Defense Force did something very interesting here. And I want to get into the whole, the divide on the left that's happening that we're seeing very clearly between the far left and the more moderate left within the Democrat Party and their position on Israel, because it's actually really tragic. Nevertheless, I thought this was really fascinating that Israel, this report, Israel exaggerated the invasion to lure Hamas fighters into tunnel, then bombed them. My goodness. So what Israel did, and the IDF did, is they used social media and they used even the global press to intensify the idea that there was this ground incursion into the Gaza Strip on Friday morning. So meanwhile, the fighters, the Hamas fighters in Gaza thought, oh no, they're coming for us. They're invading Gaza. Everybody grab your weapons. We must run to the battlefront and defeat the evil Israelis. And so what they did is they all came into this tunnel system that has been developed and dug out on the border with Israel and Gaza. And as soon as those troops were in there, those terrorists, they bombed them. I know we don't have death tolls from this yet, but we can only imagine that it's been pretty severe. There is no death toll numbers from what I can see yet, but the Hamas fighters were absolutely pummeled. Lots of explosions were reported from this attack. But I thought it was a very interesting insight into just how cunning the Israel Defense Forces truly are and how serious Israel is about defending itself in this time. But this is truly a remarkable thing that the IDF is doing. More reports on Israel when we get back on the other side of this break. But like I said, Israel means business. Everything that we can tell is truly, truly remarkable here. Okay, so one other thing that I want to bring up here is that something I've been wondering about. This Iron Dome is firing hundreds and thousands of missiles into the air, and actually Senator Cruz is asking them to actually replenish Israel's Iron Dome missiles, asking the federal government. It's something nobody's talking about. So I just wanted to throw that out there. There is a limit to what they can do. You don't even have to be on the side of Israel. You don't have to have any feelings about the matter for that matter, just to admire the Iron Dome in all of its glory. It's a truly remarkable achievement. And if you haven't seen what it's capable of, I recommend that you go to Charlie Kirk's Rumble page, where we have a bunch of videos on this stuff, and check it out. So I want to get into the squad. I know the squad is, you know, sometimes we use it as a foil from talking about actually really important things. But what's actually important is the fact that they are pushing the entire Democrat establishment way to the left. So, for example, this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeting after the AFP news agency announced breaking. Biden says Israel has the right to defend itself. Well, it's about the only thing right Biden has done in this whole matter. Nevertheless, AOC claps back with blanket statements like these with little context or acknowledgement of what precipitated this cycle of violence, namely the oppression of Palestinians and attacks on Al-Aqsa Mosque, dehumanize Palestinians, and imply the U.S. will look the other way at human rights violations. It's wrong. Meanwhile, and listen, I don't mean to diminish the seriousness of the situation. At the end of the day, however, this is a thousands of year old struggle that we're not going to probably get fixed today. Although that being said, President Trump, peace through strength, had basically told the Palestinians to go pound sand. You got no standing here. We're going to back Israel. And guess what? We had years of relative peace. Moved the embassy to Jerusalem. They said the world was going to explode. It didn't. Why? Because we were strong. We let the Palestinians know that there's no negotiating on these pieces that have long been on the table. And when you do that, you actually make peace possible, because they're not going to quibble over some of these more hairy disputes. Now, let's hear what this clip 98, Rashida Tlaib compares the Palestinians living under apartheid to black people living in the U.S. Here we go. Clip 98.
What we are telling Palestinians fighting apartheid is the same thing being told to my black neighbors and Americans throughout that are fighting against police brutality here. There is no form of acceptable resistance to state violence. As long as the message from Washington is that our military support for Israel is unconditional, Netanyahu's extremism, right-wing government will continue to expand settlements, continue to demolish homes, and continue to make the prospects for peace impossible.
Yeah, all right. Extremist, right-wing, it's all part of their ploy. They've used this against the American public to some effect. And so they're going to be now use it internationally. Now, Rashida Tlaib is an absolute hack, and she's just awful. There's really no excuse for the fact that our country has a person like Rashida Tlaib as a representative. Nevertheless, she's Palestinian first. Her loyalties lie to Palestine, and she's proven that. She had that map in her office. It was much reported, where she put a sticker over Israel and you know, the point is she doesn't like Israel. She never has. She's very pro-Palestinian. She's, I think, was born there. I don't quote me on that. I get a little confused. The point is the squad is getting it all wrong. And what they're doing is they're causing this, and they know what they're doing. They're causing enough tension within the Democrat Party that when Biden simply says that Israel has the right to defend itself when 1,800 rockets are being flung at it from Gaza, that is somehow controversial. So AOC says that this has little context or acknowledgement of what precipitated this cycle of violence, namely the expulsions of Palestinians. Okay, so let's stop right there. The expulsion of Palestinians. I did a bunch of digging into this, and this is all around this neighborhood called Sheikh Jarrah. And it's a property dispute. It's been adjudicated in Israeli courts for 50 years. And it goes all the way back to the 1800s when certain Jewish settlers, Zionists, bought parcels of land. They owned it. And then in the 1948 war, most of this area was abandoned. The Jordanian army took that land and seized it from Jewish families. Okay. Now it's a very complicated case, and it's not forced expulsion. This has been adjudicated in the Israeli courts by independent, the judicial system, private citizens adjudicated in an independent court, right? So this is long been running. It's 50 years now in the making that this has been, litigated there. And it's about a half dozen families that would have been implicated, and they've even put that off. Okay. Now let's deal with the Al-Aqsa Mosque, right? It's the third holiest site in all of Islam. So there was talks about that there was these explosions and that they were attacking the mosque. Well, no, what they were doing is that there was Palestinians hurling rocks at Israeli police. And so that what they did is they fired stun grenades and tear gas in order to clear it up. But here's the truth. Al-Aqsa has been controlled by Muslim authorities. The other thing you have to know here is that the Israeli military rerouted a parade that was celebrating the reunification of Jerusalem in 1967 to placate the Palestinians. So we talked about this with Sebastian Gorka earlier this week, but on one side, when we think about this conflict, we have to think about it like this. On the one hand, it should be their conflict to wage. I sometimes think that the U.S. and our foreign policy, especially over the years, you go back to the 80s and 90s, even Jimmy Carter in the 70s, we've had this messianic complex when it comes to Israel, that we want to be the brokers of the peace, and we somehow think that we can cut through generations upon generations of bad blood that has existed. And on the one hand, I look at what Trump was able to accomplish, and I think, you know, pretty impressive. I think the whole world thinks it's impressive, frankly, especially when we're seeing what's happening now. Now, whether they'll admit it or not is another thing. But the Abraham Accords, peace treaty signed with four different nations in Israel, unprecedented amount of stability in the region. And so on the one hand, I think that's fair. Now, on the other hand, when we are weighing in, we're seeing that the Democrat Party wants to turn Israel into, what are the words they're using? They're using the same words against Israel that they use against American conservatives. Far right wing, ethnic cleansing. Rashida Tlaib said it's how they treat Palestinians like we treat black people in this country. This is insane, by the way. The types of analogies that the left is prone to. They've got no brake pad. And so what they're doing is they're complicating. So these four little squad members, you know, from these, you know, dubious backgrounds are causing international turmoil because they are weakening Biden's resolve to actually take a firm stance here because he's got to watch his left flank. So look at the power that these four women have. It's actually, you know, yeah, I don't agree with it. I don't like it, but I'm fairly impressed. You got to give a hat tip. They're insane, and yet they're able to essentially destabilize the Middle East. Fairly incredible. But when we're talking about these analogies that are not rooted in truth. They're just completely insane and hyperbolic. Let's turn our attention to the USA Today. This is truly unbelievable. So this is apparently David Mastio writing for the USA Today. And he's apparently a conservative. Says, after ousting Liz Cheney, Republicans prove they're a bigger threat than the 9/11 hijackers. That's right. That's right. So he says, I'm inclined to agree that these comparisons are crazy. You know, the only person who clearly died from the violence on January 6th was a Trump supporter, Ashley Babbitt. We still don't know who killed her, by the way. Pretty incredible that the establishment and the authorities and the leaders that be in these instances rally behind the privacy of one Capitol Police officer that shot and killed one of the Trump supporters on site at the Capitol that day. And we still don't know who that is. And if that shoe was on the other foot, we would have known within about 15 minutes. Nevertheless, so how on earth is it reasonable to compare? This is what David Mastio is saying. How on earth is it reasonable to compare the Capitol insurrection to the 9/11 attacks, which killed 2,977 people? Well, of course it's not. He said Kurt Bardella, USA Today contributor, made this comparison on MSNBC this week. Let's play that clip. Let's hear this clip comparing the 9/11 attacks to the insurrection.
And it's really something hearing those comments from President George W. Bush. I've been thinking to myself this whole time, you know, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, the people who wanted to do harm to our nation and to our way of life and our democracy, they got nothing on what this Republican Party is doing.
Did you hear that? Al-Qaeda's got nothing on what this Republican Party is doing. Now, this writer laments the fact that Fox News and others face backlash from Fox News and others for an insane comment that you never should have made. And you rightly were ridiculed because of it. And at first I was inclined to agree. Again, this is David Mastio with USA Today. But then I really thought hard about it. And I realized that because they got rid of Liz Cheney, that Republicans are actually a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda and the 9/11 hijackers. They think that the housekeeping of the Republican Party leadership, where the third in command doesn't agree with anybody else in her party and in the House, getting rid of that person from leadership is somehow akin to being worse than the 9/11 hijackers. Let's play clip 103.
And I'll tell you, Nicole, you know, I said something the other day on this network that's gotten a lot of attention over on the Fox News line that triggered them. And I believe that. I think that right now, the biggest threat we have to face for the future of our freedom is the threat from within. It's this enemy from within built within the Republican Party that is doing everything that they can at every level, local, state, national, to create a system where they are the ones who always win. And anyone else who does, they try to undermine, they try to delegitimize. That's exactly the type of things that when they happen in other parts of the world, we call that terrorism.
You know, I kind of agree with them on some level, except the enemy within is not the Republican Party. They're trying to set right the chaos unleashed by the American left in this last election and other ways. And frankly, with critical race theory and cultural Marxism, all of these things that are marching their way through our institutions, the long march through the institutions that the Marxists have always dreamed of. Well, we're watching it unfold. So the enemy within is guys like this idiot that are saying that, you know, Republicans are terrorists. And then you got guys that are actually that USA Today will actually publish saying that Republicans are a bigger threat than 9/11 hijackers. Are you kidding me? What is his logic? His logic is, of course, idiotic. But nevertheless, you got to hear it to believe it. That after 9/11, the leaders, financiers, and backers of the terrorists had their one shot at tearing down America. Their only hope was to hide in caves and pray we wouldn't find them. After January 6th, the leaders, financiers, and backers of the insurrection feel no such fear. Trump is plotting his comeback at Mar-a-Lago. Well, it's not true, actually. He went up to Bedminster now. He's in New Jersey. And we are going to have three more rallies that just got announced. Trump rallies are coming back this summer. Two in June and one on July 3rd. They're picking their locations right now. It's probably going to be more like the airplane hangar style that he perfected. Unfortunately, Air Force One will not be behind him, but he's got some nice planes, so we're not too worried about it. So they're saying that we are diminishing faith in the election system. Well, no, actually, folks, we're restoring faith in the election system. And I just want to encourage all of you legislators at the state level all across the country, maybe you're listening right now, please steel your spine, as Joe Biden tried to say earlier. You need to, and that was about getting vaccinated wearing your mask, but you need to steel your spine. You need to find the courage to continue moving forward. I don't care if they call you Jim Crow 2.0, whatever. Push the election reforms that are so needed in this country to ensure that we have a fair and honest election system. So on that note, please go to charliekirk.com. We got a new article up right now. Headline, Maricopa audit update. So if you're wondering what's going on with the update, we got it all for you right there at charliekirk.com. County deleted directory full of election databases days before delivery for audit. All right. So there is a lot going on. There's actually three main issues. We've got it all laid out there. I'm going to run out of time. I can't go into all of it, but just the top line here. Ongoing noncompliance with the legislative subpoenas. These people are under subpoenas and they're not complying. What are they afraid of? Ask yourself, what are they afraid of? Another thing, chain of custody and ballot organization anomalies. The Senate's contractors have become aware of apparent omissions, inconsistencies, and anomalies relating to Maricopa's handling, organization, and storage of ballots. And then third, this was the big bombshell, deleted databases. The entire database directory from the D drive of the machine's EMS primary has been deleted. And this was 10 days before they were handed over to the auditors. Now, this just means there's massive amounts of missing information from the database. What's going on here, folks? Trump has been making comments about that. But if you are all confused, go to charliekirk.com. Check out that article. We got it up there for you. Guys, it has been so much fun to be with you this week. I've had an absolute blast. If Charlie doesn't come back for a few days, I'll be okay with that next week. But I assure you, he is coming back. It has been an honor. See you guys later.